Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Hurst. It's good to be in the house of God tonight. And we're the OBI Guatemala. He said, I thought OBI was in Missouri. Well, it's in Missouri, but we obtained a Bible school. It was started 40. Let's see. It's 1978. How many years that was ago? That's 30 years ago. Somebody do the math. 34 years ago. There we go. You know, I should remember that's the year I got married. I've been married 38 years, so 34 years. But we're glad to, you want to go ahead and bring my slideshow up, brother? And you guys can see it back there, huh? All right, well, I got to get in front here so I can pinpoint people. Praise the Lord. I want to talk to you about, usually have my wife testify. Sister Liz is home. That's her right there. She's my bride for 34 years, and she couldn't come on this trip, but she usually tell you about the table we got back here. We got some prayer cards, bookmarks for your Bible, and then we got some newsletters if you want to take them. And there's some stuff back there that she sewed out of a material that the people use down there. This is Iona, the youngest of seven, and she's the last. Amen. And save the best for last. She's a perfect child, number seven. Ziona Pennington. Go ahead and go to the next slide, brother. We're located, of course, in Guatemala. It's bordered by Mexico, Belize, Honduras, and El Salvador. And it's in Central America. Next slide. This semester, we had 34 students from seven countries. We had three from Nicaragua, three from Honduras, one from El Salvador, one from Mexico, one from Colombia, and one from New Jersey. Amen. Had a girl come all the way from New Jersey to go to Bible school in Guatemala. And this is our students and staff, and we appreciate them. Now, next slide. We just kind of go through a little bit what they do. We have class time, 15 weeks of school every semester. They go to school Monday to Saturday from 8:30 in the morning to 12:30. And you can see the benches in the back. We use the church on campus for the classroom. It's one of our teachers, Brother Giovanni, local pastor. We have six full-time staff, and five teachers come in each day of the week. A pastor comes in and teaches, and then we usually cover one class. Next slide, Sister Pennington taught English. Go ahead and go to the next slide, brother. Sister Pennington taught English this semester, and we like to teach. They always try to want to learn a little English, you know, not a whole lot, but a little bit. And if you come down there, they love to practice, and they come over, how are you? Good day, you know, and thank you, and, you know, God bless you and stuff. But last year, I taught them Greek in Spanish. Now, that was a little tough. I'm thinking in English, talking Spanish, teaching Greek. But anyway, we don't want to give them two languages at the same time. So she does English one year, and I do Greek the next. We have changed the format a little bit this year. If you've read our last newsletter, we talked about how we're going to a two-year program now instead of a year-and-a-half program. So anyhow, pray for all that. It's in a transition. It's working good. Next slide. This is some of our staff. Now, Sister Felicia, she's not Guatemalan, you can tell. She's from West Plains, Missouri. She's been down about six times with us. And we've had several young people, Anson and Tabitha Miller, our son Jason and Vicky. His wife has been down several times. In fact, they're going down with me in May. I'm going to stay for 6 weeks. And when we got to Bible school, when Brother Taylor contacted me about being the director of it, he said he wanted to use it as a launching pad to train OBI students in America, get them exposed and get them on the mission field. And we've been able to see that. Several young people are on the mission field today. That have worked with us down there in Guatemala. Anson and Tabitha will be going to Sudan, Africa to help Brother Gadang start a Bible school this November. And, of course, this is our cook, Sister Mariana. She's the only one of the staff that's not a graduate of the Bible school. But she's an amazing lady. She can take 2 pounds of hamburger and feed 40 people, you know, so, or three chickens, amen, and feed 40 people. Go ahead and go to the next slide. In the afternoon, the students go out on evangelism 5 days a week. We break them up into two teams, and we go out there and preach on the parks and just on the streets here. I'd like to get that big guitar up, you know, just walk out. I remember here a while back when I took them on evangelism, we went to I'll just share one story. We have probably 700 to 750 people accept the Lord on these street meetings every year. We go through 7,000 tracts every year. And here, one time when I took them, we went to a dump. I mean, it was a trash thing about the size of this church. And it was close to a market. It was a market dump. And a lot of rotten tomatoes and coconut shells and butchered cow heads, you know, just about 3 foot deep out through there. Well, there's about 100 people rifling through that getting stuff to eat. I saw little children, a year and a half old, crawling amongst that rubbish, sucking on dirty mango seeds. I saw a little old lady, crippled, come up there and pick up a bag of chicken entrails and dig out the undeveloped eggs to take home and eat, you know, just poor people. But we waded right out amongst all that stuff, you know, just we had to wash our shoes when we got on, brother. But anyhow, I hit the chord on that guitar and we started singing, Sin Cristo yo no tengo nada, Sin Cristo no hay salvación, Sin Cristo yo voy por mi vida, como barco sin timón. Cristo, oh Cristo, si has oído su voz, ven acéptale hoy, oh Cristo, mi Cristo, con él seguro estoy. You know that song, right? Without him, I could do nothing. A couple boys testified, one of them preached, gave an altar call. Witnessing people, 19 people got on their knees in that pile of rubbish and accepted Jesus as their Savior. Amen. You know, Jesus told John the Baptist disciples, tell John that the poor have the gospel preached to them. So I like to take them there at least once a year, maybe a couple times to that place. But we go a lot of different places. Anyway, I could tell a lot of stories. But next slide. Every year we've been having two graduations. Last spring we had six. And next slide, last November we had eight. Now, this will be the last May graduation here, May 26th. We've got 12 that's going to graduate. After that, we'll just be having graduations in November because we'll only be accepting students in January, and they'll have to come a full 2 years to go with the school. Next slide. This is a little pickup we was able to buy 2 years ago. We got blessed with a big offering from Texas. Somebody gave us $10,000 to buy a vehicle, and we bought this little truck. It's not a Ford or a Chevy or Toyota or Mitsubishi. It's a Great Wall. Anybody want to guess where it's made? Ah, you got it. China, amen. It's called a Deer. It's got D-E-E-R on it, but it don't run like one. But anyway, it does run. It gets better gas mileage than what we was using. Next slide. We use it a lot. Go up in the mountains when it's just a few of us going up there in evangelism or outreach services. We go to the market and... Then, of course, construction. We're always doing a lot of construction work there with the scaffold and the boards and everything. We've built, work on a lot of things down there for graduates and then, of course, our own work as well. Next slide, a convocation. Those of you who was there last October realized that they raised $18,000 for us to buy a new van. So we got down there January this year. And I had a van, boy, before January was over. Praise God. And it's a diesel, and it's a Mitsubishi, very reliable, and you get parts for it better than you can a Dodge or a Ford or something. So we took it through a trip through Central America back in March, and they got 45 kilometers to the gallon. Glory to God. Now, I'm glad to come home and pay $3.80-something a dollar, for a gallon of gas, you know. I mean, down there we pay $4 or $5, $4.50 to $5 for a gallon of gas all the time. But diesel is cheaper down there, so that's why we got the diesel there. Next slide. This is a church on campus. We have three churches. This is our national director, Juan Carlos, and I was able to bring them to America for the first time last fall. And they was amazed. I mean, they had never been to America, okay? Sister Pinkton took them to the Dollar Tree. You have Dollar Trees here? Yeah. All right, they went in there. They went hog wild, man. That only costs a dollar? Yes, a dollar. Oh, this is a dollar. Yeah, everything in this store is a dollar, man. They had $72 or something. It's worth the stuff from the Dollar Tree, you know. We're just like looking at them. But anyway, I think it was real good to bring them up here so they could kind of get a feel of what's behind them. You know, it's not just an isolated place, but there's people all over the country. And we took them around a lot of different churches for services. Okay, next slide. This is some of the activities. Now, the demographics in Guatemala, the average age there is 18, so a lot of young people. We do a lot of ministry with puppets, a lot of kids things. This is a missions convention that the young people put on. And out of a church of about 100, 125, 80% of them are under 25 years old. A lot of times I'm the oldest person in service, and I'm only 53. Only. Glory to God. But praise the Lord for the young people down there that are on fire for Jesus. Next slide. This is our church in Villahermosa. This is our pastors, Daniel and Sister Adriana, and their children. They're both 98 graduates of the Bible school. And we actually built this church since we've been down there. Spent about $40,000 building a three-story building. And go to the next slide. We'll show you. This is a congregation, and I've baptized over half of these people, probably helped baptize over half of them. And the church is coming along good. It's been open about 2.5 years now. Next slide. You can see the inside of it. We've got a marble floor or a granite floor that I paid about 50 cents a square foot for. Glory to God. Now, Sister Pinkton, she makes puppets as well, and they needed some puppets for this church. So these are all the children's workers in that church, and they made these puppets in 3 evenings at our house. All these puppets, you know. You see there the different puppets, and then she had a class teaching them how to use them one Saturday for about 8 hours. So great opportunity for more ministry, and we have a lot of kids' crusades lined up for this summer in this church. Next slide. Let's talk about outreach services. While we're down there, we usually go out every other weekend if we can. I try to schedule to go out to outlying areas within Guatemala and even in Central America to minister to. And for the graduates of the Bible school that have churches, and we go there and promote the school, take brochures, and get more alumni or get more prospective students. So let's kind of go to some of them we went to this spring. Next slide. We went here to Puerto San Jose. It's right on the coastal thing. Before anybody asks, no, the dog's not dead. We're not having a funeral, okay? First time I showed this slide, I was right in the middle of some girl piped up. Is that dog dead? Are you having a funeral for it? No. The dog's alive. He's just sleeping. But anyhow, you see, this guy here is a pastor, graduated in 06. And he went down there 3 years ago and pioneered a church, started a church from scratch. Somebody found, heard about it, and they said, hey, you need a place to live for free. Would you like to have to live in my house? I'm going to give you this house free of rent. So he's been here 3 years, hasn't paid any rent. Him and his family live in a house. So last summer he started this. This is a homeless mission, Casa de Restauración. And he started there in the house he was living in. Another guy, totally different, came up to him and said, are you trying to start a homeless shelter? He said, yeah. He said, well, he said, I got this place I want you to have rent free. So all this here, he's got 6 sleeping quarters here, kitchen area, bathroom area, office area. And he hasn't paid any rent on it. Started it last October. And then the local TV station said, we want to give you an hour a day on our television station. And so I've headed down here on a Tuesday. About 5 in the morning, I got there at 8, preached on the television program from 10 to 11. We had an afternoon service here at the homeless shelter. And then that evening, preached in his service. So it's quite the deal. And I just one testimony here, and I wrote this in the next standard bearer. Next one coming out, you'll read about this guy here. This guy here, right there, underneath the column there. His name is Juan Carlos as well. He 8 months ago, this guy was sleeping in a cardboard box in the streets of Puerto San Jose, and had been a drunk for 25 years. But brother Juan Carlos, that's for you guys. I mean, Brother Juan Carlos or Romano went to this guy, brought him to the casa, to the homeless shelter, fed him, clothed him, led him to Christ, and then brought him to Bible school in January. Wanted to enroll him. Said, this guy wants to learn more about Jesus, man. He told him his story. He was sleeping in a cardboard box 3 months ago. I'm like, well, all right, we'll let him come. Well, he's 48 years old. They call him T.O. Juan, Uncle John, amen, because he's so old. But anyhow, this guy just, what a great spirit he has. I mean, I wish he was here, could give his testimony. You just cry, man. But he told me weeping right before I left in March that God is restoring his mind. He said, 25 years of alcoholism, being a drunk. He said, I couldn't comprehend my lessons. I couldn't memorize the scriptures, but he said, God is restoring my mind to where now I can receive the word of God. I can understand my lessons and everything. He just told me weeping, just crying. It'd just touch your heart. Amen. Next slide. It would take too long here. This is Brother Lupe, and he worked with us, him and his wife, Sister Irma. They worked with us for about 8 years, and they left to go to Rio Bravo to take a church, and now they minister to these children. They feed about 100 children every morning before school, and again, went there and gave them a devotion. Next slide. This is in Ixcan, and that's a state in Guatemala. That's how you say that, Ixcan. This is Edgar Sharuk, and he's Cachiquel Indian, and he's building this temple here. He's been there about 3 years, actually 2 years, working on his third year. Next slide. And this is another place in Ixcan. We got four graduates up there working. This is Brother Pastor Felipe here in the front row, and there on the that's his little brother. He's also building a new temple, and of course these guys get construction projects with the hope that Brother Paynton will come and kind of help build it, you know, because I've helped build about 8 to 10 churches, I guess, over the last 8 years, but we don't have enough money to do all of it. In fact, we just do it whenever somebody gets a burden for it and wants to come down here and work on it, like Brother Miles or Randy Snow or somebody. So anyway, we've had several groups come down. And anyhow, just great work up there. This fellow is really doing, I mean, the presence of God was so strong in that place. We had about a 45-minute altar service, people weeping, falling out, crying, and really praying hard. Next slide. This is Kaibil Balan. And this is in Ixcan Tamien. This is Pastor Hideon. And this is a MAM congregation, M-A-M. There's 27 different Mayan tribes, 23 different languages. One of them is MAM, M-A-M. And this is in a town of about 700 people in town. 400 of them go to this church. I like those odds, don't you? What if you had, you know, two-thirds of Dayton coming to your church? That'd be something, wouldn't it? Gave the altar call, 25 people here coming down here giving their hearts to Jesus. Praise the Lord. But amazing thing, while I was there, go ahead and go to the next slide. 2 years ago, I went up there. That's when Brother Shaduk, 2 years ago, he had gone up there and took in his church, and he took me over to this big church. And this fellow was living in the church. The pastor was letting him live in there because his feet was turned in like this. He couldn't even put shoes on. He couldn't even walk. And imagine my surprise when we walked in here in February, we're up on the front there, and this guy walks in with his boots on, amen, takes his place on the front row, and he's clapping and worshiping the Lord. And I nudged Brother Shaduk. I said, isn't that the guy we prayed for 2 years ago? And we talked to him after church. He says, yeah. I said, after you guys prayed for me, said, I started getting better. And said, I went back to work, and praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, you know, it's wonderful when God surprises, isn't it? This brother here, he was a graduate of the Bible school a year ago, and now he's youth pastor in this church of 400. And before he come to Bible school, before he got saved, you know, he was in the drug scene and the gangs and everything. But I was impressed because he kind of grew up. He was a little bitty old skinny kid when he graduated from Bible school, and now he's filled out and he's all professional. But anyhow, after this service, they wanted to feed the missionary, you know. And of course, I'm always, you know, okay, I'm always good to eat. But they said, yeah, we got a special food that we want to feed you that is from the mountains here. And of course, I've been a little leery about special food, okay, because sometimes, you know, one time they tried to feed me armadillo, and I'm like, no, we don't eat armadillo, okay. So I'm asking, okay, what are we going to eat? They said, well, we're going to eat tepesquintla, man. Anybody know what tepesquintla is? I didn't either. So, well, what kind of animal is it? You know, just kind of. Well, one brother said, it's like a deer. It's like a venado. And I said, well, it runs around the mountains. It's wild. We hunt it and shoot it, just like you hunt deer in America. Well, I'm down with that. I can eat deer, you know. So then another guy said, no, it's not like a deer at all. He said, it's like a pig. It's got a head like a pig. And I'm like, well, I eat pig too. Okay, so far we're safe, you know. But then another guy said, no, it ain't like a pig or a deer at all. It's like a cat. It's like a leopard. He said, it's got spots on the side like a leopard. I'm like, oh, wait a second. I ain't going to eat no leopard, you know. But anyhow, they brought it out there, and we ate it. It tastes like chicken, you know. Anyhow, the next morning we get up to go preach somewhere else, and this guy wants to feed us breakfast. We've got about a two-hour drive, so he gives us this atole de maíz. It's like a cornmeal mush with corn kernels in it, real thick stuff. You got to kind of So anyhow, the guy said, hey, he said, I've got a live tepesquintla back here in the cage. You want to see it? I said, yeah, man, I want to see what we ate, you know. So it was raining. We waded through the mud, got back in there. He had this cage, and there was a hollow log in there. So he got poking around this hollow log. Out comes this animal. Next slide. This is a tepesquintla. It was like a giant guinea pig, okay? It was about the size of a coon, you know. But you can see it has spots on the side, you know, and it's got a head like a pig. But anyhow, that's what we ate. So it wasn't bad, you know. I survived. But you want to come down to Guatemala, we'll take you to Ixcan and feed you some wild game, okay? It's called mountain paca, I guess, in English. Next slide. All right, this is Pastor Pedro Suarez. He's in Chimaltenango. And you can see the series. This guy started this church in a cornfield. And after a year, he had over 100 people coming to it. We went and helped him get the blocks up this high. And then we went 3 years ago and got the blocks up that high. And then last year, Brother Andy Snow brought a group down. We put this metal roof on. Now, I'm a roofer. And you can see the trusses and everything. We had 11 trusses. Thing about it, this building on this end is 42 feet wide. On this end, it's 48 feet wide. And then this block wall on the top, we had it all level. They laid the ends where they laid one end 9 blocks high and the other end 8 blocks high. So we're building these trusses, fabricating. We have to fabricate every truss to get wider and taller as it goes down. But I'll tell you, if Brother Miles hadn't been here helping me figure it out, I don't think we would have got it done, man. It was quite a challenge. Well, we're going back. They're coming back. Brother Miles is bringing a group down in August of this year, and they want to try to pour a floor in about a third of this church. So just one of the churches we've been working on. Next slide. Now, it's an outreach service in Sipacate, Esquintla, and this is at a mechanic shop. A Christian guy that has a mechanics place wanted us to go there. So it's a night service. Got about 3 churches involved. Now, this is a pit. These are big, huge tractor tire rims that they put over this grease pit, and they put boards across it. Now, you know, they all weigh about 130 pounds, you know. Well, I weigh more than that. And so I'm up there dancing around these flimsy boards over an 8-foot pit, you know, about 8 foot. Well, this is a truck hood they had behind there, so I guess if I backed up, I wouldn't fall in too far. My wife said I could ride it down in there. I don't know. But anyhow, it was pretty interesting, amen, preaching over a grease pit. Next slide. We went to Honduras second week of March, preaching Dan Lee. I'm sorry, sister. Preaching Dan Lee right there. That's where the Sumners are. And she opened her mouth, so I was kind of just trying to hit the target, you know. I've been playing too many video games. Sorry. San Lorenzo's down in here. We'll go over here and borrow these guys. Amen. Down in here at San Lorenzo, next slide, is another outreach service. And here's a group of students that we took with us down there to Honduras. And we had several services there. Then we went on to Nicaragua. Next slide. And over in Nicaragua, we preached in Leon, which is right down in here. You see El Salvador, Honduras, Nicaragua. And we had to drive all the way through El Salvador to get down in there. And in Leon, we had about 4 services. And I just got a few pictures. They're not good pictures, but you can see a little bit of it. Next slide. This is in Esteli, Nicaragua, and wonderful congregation there we had service with. And the next slide is in Achuapa. How you like your parking lot here? Anybody ride your horse tonight? Just checking. Okay, well, anyhow, I had the only vehicle there. They, me and the pastor, he had a pickup, and I had a van, and the rest of them rode horses in. But I tell you, this pastor doing a great work. We did one service where we rode in this four-wheel drive pickup, and we had to put it in four-wheel drive about 5 times and get way up in the mountains there. Had a little house church, just a wonderful time. Next slide. Just a last slide here, talking about how, as a missionary, we make a difference in people's lives. Whether it's one individual like this boy or whether it's a group of men in Sudan, men and women, we train pastors. The story on this boy 2 years ago, April the 5th, we went to a Kekchi congregation. That's K'CHI, Kekchi, okay? And anyhow, The boy was paralyzed. He hadn't been able to walk for 6 months. Hadn't been able to use his legs or his feet. And they carried him in on a plastic stack-up chair. And he was sitting there. And after the service, this is a brother from our church, Brother Miguel, and his son, Miguelito, was filming this with his camera, with his camera on his phone. And so this is a video, and I just stopped it here. These two brothers here are students from the Bible school. This is my son, Jason. He was with me at the time. Anyhow, they went to praying for this boy. I had preached that afternoon on the power of the Lord being present to heal you. And Mark, where they tore the roof off and let the guy down, and this boy was sitting in his chair. They went over and started praying for him. He started crying. I didn't know it, but he was a pastor's backslid son. The pastor had several children, and three of his boys decided that they weren't going to go to church anymore, and this is one of them. He's 17 years old. Well, 2 months after he got out of church, he got struck with this paralysis. And so anyhow, he came to church to see the missionary, and we prayed for him, and he raised his hand. He started crying. The Spirit of the Lord moving on him. His legs started quivering a little bit like that, you know. I'm standing behind the pulpit. Oh, by the way, when I give the altar call, the pastor ran down and threw himself in front of the pulpit area and was praying real loud in Kekchi, man. I mean, it sounds Chinese to me. I don't know what he's saying, but he's praying for that boy. And I didn't know it was his boy. They carried him in the middle of the service. But anyhow, next thing you know, his legs started doing this number, you know. Started moving around a little bit. The next thing you know, he stood up, and I stopped the video as soon as he stood up here. And after a little while, he started jumping. Praise God. He carried his chair. He turned around and took his chair and walked back to his house a few doors down from the church. And his two brothers, 120 and 122, saw what was going on, and he brought them all back, and they all came down and got saved with their dad. Amen. That's making a difference for eternity. Praise God. And I checked with him about a year later, and he was still up and walking, still going to church. Praise God. So then this bottom picture is a group of people in South Sudan where me and Brother Cantor, Ben Baker, went there last August. And, well, you get pretty close when you stay 8 days. And that's the end of the slide. You can go ahead and turn that up. You get pretty close when you live 8 days with guys in a little mud hut about 12 feet in diameter that's got three beds in it, and that's about all. And the walls are about as high as this pulpit. And then from there it goes up to a cone-shaped thatched grass roof. The door is this high and this wide. So every time we went in there for 8 days, me and Brother Cantor and Ben Baker, and you get in there, and then when you want to leave, you know, day and night for 8 days, man, that'll make you appreciate good tall doors. And I asked them over there, you know, there was guys over there, I couldn't even touch the top of their head. They just hang their elbows over an 8-foot rafter, you know. Just. And I asked them, I said, how come the tallest people in the world got pygmy doors, man? They told me it was for the heat, you know, to kind of let the heat get out of there. But anyhow, what an opportunity, amen, that OBI, through OBI Guatemala, we've been able to use it as a launching pad. And now we're going to have OBI Sudan, OBI India, OBI Germany, OBI wherever OBI graduates want to go start a Bible school, you know. And it's just been an amazing, amazing journey over the last 8 years, Brother Hurst, really, how God has used Ozark Bible Institute over the last, you know, 40 some years, 46 years, whatever, to now it's branching out. And praise God, He's good, isn't He?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, that's all. Slideshow, brother.
When Sister Rebecca had us practice this song, it reminded me of a man I met in Sierra Leone. The first place we lived was in a village called Makomp, a village of about 50 houses made of mud block, mud sticks, galvanized roofs. There was a mission compound there with a church, and like in the lower part of the valley, and up on the hill was the mission house. And I can remember going down on a Sunday morning and headed down to that church, and I saw a man coming into that church using a cane that he had made out of a T-shaped branch, dressed in shorts and a short sleeve shirt. And out of the bottoms of those shorts, there was a leg that was crippled probably by polio, and just hopping, kind of hopping into church. Noticed that his legs were about the size of my arms, but his arms were about the size of my thighs. Found out that he was the blacksmith in town. Sometimes I would take his machete down him to be sharpened. He had a little hut under a grass roof. He had two bellows there, which he would operate with his hands, blowing into charcoals that would get red hot. He'd put that steel in that red hot till it got hot. Then he'd beat it and shape it and sharpen it on a old railroad tire iron. And that man, one time as he was working, he had a piece of hot metal go through his palm of his hand. He had tried native medicine to fix that. A very poor man, didn't have any facilities to get better medical help. One day he came to me, and I didn't realize all this happened. He came to me one day, and he said, "It's not getting any better. It's getting worse." And you imagine, he's crippled. His livelihood is in his hands. If he loses that hand, he's lost his livelihood. So he came to me, and we took him to a Seventh-day Adventist hospital, which was a leprosy hospital, where they had some of the best doctors from Europe that did reconstructive surgery on leprous people. And they examined him, and they said, "Well, we can save his hand, but he's lost too much blood to go into surgery. We need to give him a transfusion." Well, I'd taken some of his family members with us, and they began to test each one of those to see if they had a blood type that would work for him. None of the family members had the right blood type. I said, "Well, I'm here. Test me." So they test me, and they found out my blood was going to work the needed for that surgery for him. So for the first time in my life, I laid down a little bed there, and I saw them taking blood out of my arm and put it into a glass container. And then they did the surgery. His hand got better. He's able to continue his livelihood. And from time to time, he would come and give me thanks. In fact, he usually would bring a rooster, which is expensive there in Sierra Leone. He said, "Your blood is in me." He needed blood that would work. Now, I'm thankful tonight that there was another man one time who was crippled by sin. As he went on his life, he got more damaged by sin. But he found a blood that would work to give him life eternal. Amen.
Testify, God is not dead, He is still alive. The same blood that was shed way back at Calvary is the same blood that's working now for me. Oh, His blood redeems me from the stain of sin. His blood cleanses me deep down within. So if you ask me how I made it and how I've overcome, I can tell you it's because of the blood.
His blood still works, and I'm glad to reap.
Oh, hallelujah.
By the blood.
still works, and I'm here to testify. God is not dead, He is still alive. The same blood that was shed way back at Calvary is the same blood that's working now for me. His blood redeemed me from the stain of sin, and His blood cleanses me deep down within. So if you ask me how I made it and how I've overcome, I can tell you it's because of the blood.
God. Amen. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Praise God. Thankful for the Spirit of the Lord to feel here tonight. And thankful for the opportunity to come, Brother Hurst. Thanks for letting us share OBI Guatemala. I want to turn quickly here to the Word of God tonight, to Hebrews chapter 1. And just the Lord's presence is here from the get-go. Amen. And isn't it wonderful when you come, gather together in His name to worship Him. And amen. And He's there to receive our worship. Praise God. I want to talk tonight about spiritual ministry or ministering spirits. Amen. We'll talk a little bit about Hebrews chapter 1. We'll start reading verse 10. And Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of Thine hands. They shall perish, but Thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as if the garment, and as a vesture shalt Thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But Thou art the same, and Thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said He in any time, Sit on My right hand till I make Thine enemies Thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? Verse 14 said, Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? We'll talk about ministering spirits tonight. Amen? And kind of get a little different twist on this, but just stay with me. Amen. Father, thank You, Lord, for the privilege to be in Your house, to know and believe Jesus Christ as our Savior. Thank You, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to minister to others. We ask You, Lord, just to help us to share the Word tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. You know, when you start talking about angelology in the Bible, it covers a lot of different grounds, and I know a lot of emphasis in recent years has been put on angels. You know, we had a TV series, Touched by Angels, and you know, they've made a big old heyday selling a lot of stuff. It's got angels on it, but angels are still real. Amen? And, you know, Jesus Christ, when He came to this world, one of the first things that He talked about, one of His first converts there, Nathanael, you know, I mean, Philip and Andrew saw Jesus walk by, and they saw John the Baptist point to Him and say, Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And so they looked at Him, they followed Him, Master, where You dwell? And He said, Come and see. And of course, when they went there, well, they both went to go get somebody. Andrew went and got his own brother, Peter, but Philip went and got Nathanael. And when he came to Nathanael, he said, Come and see the Messiah. And of course, Nathanael said, How do you know? Can anything good come out of Nazareth, you know? And he said, Well, come and see. So he went over there, and when Nathanael was coming, Jesus saw him coming. He said, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. And of course, Nathanael kind of said, How do you know me? You know, I mean, I've never seen you before. And in other words, and so Jesus said, Before Philip called you when you was under the fig tree, I saw you. Yes, sir. And Nathanael said, Surely thou art the Son of God. I mean, he believed he was a Messiah because he told him where Philip met him. But, you know, Jesus said there in John chapter 1 and verse 51, He said, You believe that I am He because, He said, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And He said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God descending, ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now, I think this is Pennington's commentary. Maybe Nathanael was sitting meditating under that fig tree about Jacob over there, you know, when he had the stone for the pillow and he saw the vision of the ladder and the angels of God coming up and down. But anyhow, you see in the life of Jesus Christ, amen, many miraculous things going on. I mean, all through the life of Jesus Christ, an angel announced his birth and, told Mary he's going to have, Gabriel was there, right? Later on, when he was in the wilderness being tempted and he started his ministry, when he was born, actually, you had a great host of heavenly angels came down and sang for the shepherds, and it was a great time, wasn't it? I mean, angels can sing like y'all. Praise God. In fact, I didn't say this about my wife, but somebody said his wife was an angel because she's always up in there harping about something, amen. But anyway, I didn't say that about Sister Pinkton, so don't tell her, amen. But, during his temptation, the Bible records that the angels, after he was tempted, that the angels came and ministered unto him. Huh? There in the Garden of Gethsemane, in Luke chapter 22, verse 43, the Bible says, after he sweat great drops of blood, that the angels came and ministered unto him. Praise God. Of course, at the resurrection, he could have called them. After Peter used a sword, he said, put your sword up. Don't you know that I could just ask, and right now I'd have 10 legions of angels down here? Huh? Of course, when he resurrected, amen, those ladies saw two angels, right? Yep. I'm sure maybe the soldiers saw them too. I don't know. Anyhow, then, of course, the last, after he rose and the cloud received him out of their sight, the Bible says on the Mount of Transfiguration, immediately, there was two men standing by, two angels, standing by him in white apparel. Well, angels, they had the mystery of godliness. Paul talked about in Timothy, another 3:16 scripture there, 1 Timothy 3:16. Great is a controversy, without controversy, great is a mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, justified and preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in the glory. Well, did you know angels are going to be a part of your future? They're going to be your pallbearers? Huh? For eternity. They're the pallbearers of eternity. They take people. Lazarus, when he died, the beggar Lazarus, Jesus, the Bible says he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Amen. And over in Revelation, we read that those angels that stick their sickle in to start reaping the harvest of God's wrath, that they were angels that done that. Later on, amen, when Jesus told the parable about the tares and the wheat, and when he was explaining it to his disciples, and he said at the judgment, amen, that the angels are the ones that are going to separate the wheat from the tares. Amen. So they're going to be a part of your future, and we get to judge angels, Paul told us. Yeah? So I don't know about men and angels. Most of us that sat through Brother Cantor's class, we memorized Psalms 8, or if you've been to Christian school, and you've quote there about what is man, thou art mindful of him, thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, crowned him with glory and honor. Amen? I don't know how much like angels we're going to be, but, do you remember when they asked Jesus, I don't know if this really happened, I think he just kind of set it up, this fake question. This man had a wife, and he died, and his brother took her, and he died, and seven men had her, seven brothers had the same woman. Looked like after about the third or fourth one, to kind of get the hint there that maybe, she ain't cooking the right kind of mushrooms or something here, boys, we got to watch. But, if all seven of them did have her to wife, and then they get to heaven, whose wife's she going to be? Jesus said that we're going to be like the angels. Praise God. We're not going to be given in marriage, but we're going to be like the angels of God. Bible says we're going to be that. Matter of fact, over there in Hebrews chapter 12, when he talks about, ye have come unto Mount Zion, amen, the heavenly Jerusalem. Glory to God, the spirits of just men made perfect to an innumerable company of angels. Revelation 22, when John was about, when he fell down to worship at the feet of that angel that was showing him all them things, that angel said, see thou do it not, for I am of thy brethren the prophets. Amen. Worship God. Amen. So I don't know how much like an angel we're going to be, but I think we can be like him. If we're going to be like him after a while, we might as well practice getting like him now. And how can we be a ministering spirit like the angels? Well, I believe that the angels were ministering spirits, amen, because they were messengers for God. Amen. All down through the Bible. Amen. You read about angels and they were bearing the message. Matter of fact, the writer of Hebrews starts out about how that God in sundry times and in divers manners spake in our fathers by the prophets. But, I mean, he spoke to them prophets by angels a lot of times. Huh? Gideon's, Samson's parents. I mean, you just go through, read through the Old Testament. You'll find angels appearing all the time and giving a message for God, amen, to people. And you could be a messenger for God, amen. God requires and wants you to be the spiritual flavoring for our culture. Praise God, he wants us to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world, the leaven that leavens the whole lump. Praise God, and so we can be an ambassador for God. We can be his epistles known and read among all men, and God wants us to be his spokesperson. Just like these angels are ministering spirits, we can be ministering spirits by being a messenger for God, by being somebody God can speak to. Well, we got to be able to hear from God first before we can speak for him, right? Praise God. Then we got to be a worshiper. I mean, there in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6, and let all the angels of God worship him. Amen. I love we come to church and worship. Praise God. Hallelujah. They get to Guatemala. I just wish, amen, you know. Well, of course, I've been a lot of places, but you've been a lot of places too. Can you imagine if everybody that you and I in this building have seen worship God, if we could all get together in one place, where we're going to do it after a while? Innumerable company of angels. We're going to worship him. Let all the angels worship God. And then are they not all ministering spirits sent forth? We can be sent. Praise God. Be a messenger for God. God wants to send you with a message to somebody. Praise God. And you could do it. You don't have to be an angel. You could be a human. You could be saved by that blood we talked about, by that salvation we talked about. Amen. And we could be a messenger for God. And then angels are guardians of the truth. You remember after the fall of man, when Adam and Eve, you know, God had to throw them out of the garden. The Bible says he put cherubims on the east side with a flaming sword that's turned her in every direction to keep the way of the tree of life. Praise God. And you and I need to be able to defend the truth, to be guardians of God's truth. Amen. To earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Praise God. And I believe that angels, you know, they do spiritual battle. In fact, I know they do. Daniel, when he was praying and fasting for 21 days, when Michael the angel finally got there, he said, I heard you, that God heard you the first day you prayed, but said, I've been doing warfare. I've been battling the prince of Persia. And you know, our weapons, amen, that we fight against, they're not carnal, but they are mighty to God through the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. Our weapon is a weapon of prayer. When our children still with us, all the older girls that could sing, we used to sing an old song, and I didn't know it, but it was written back in the 40s during World War II. It's called A Weapon of Prayer. Some of you might know that. Amen. Anybody know it? No? Ooh. Amen. In that land across the sea, there's a job for you and me. Though our presence there may not be found, we must pray both night and day for the battle line away. We must never lay our weapon down. You don't have to be a soldier in a uniform to be of service over there. Amen. We must pray both night and day. I think it's something, I forget it. But I like the second verse says, when the planes and tanks and guns have done all that they can do, and the mighty bombs have rained and fell, there's a helpful hand above with a weapon made of love. And against it, none on earth will prevail. Praise God. So you and I can do spiritual battle. Amen. We got to be able to do spiritual battle. He said he made his angels ministers. A flame of fire. Praise God. I tell you, we get the Holy Ghost fire. Amen. Burning in our life. God will make you a minister. Amen. And you can do spiritual battle. That's why the Holy Ghost is given to us. Amen. For us to pray better. Praying always in the Holy Ghost, he said. Praise God. Making a difference. Having compassion. Pulling some from the flames. Amen. God wants to use you. Amen. As a ministering spirit, you see, we're spiritual beings because we're made in the image of God. Praise God. I don't think angels are sissies. Matter of fact, one of them, they got some pretty, you talk about soup, Hollywood and a lot of comic books and people in there like to make superheroes, Spider-Man, Superman, Mighty Mouse, whatever, anyway. Well, you realize angels pretty powerful. He's kind of, one of them took care of 140,000 guys, 120,000 guys one night. That's pretty powerful. Amen. I mean, you read through Revelation. You talk about the battle, amen, over all them vials, all them things that got cast out. There's angels laying hold and doing war. But God wants us to defend the faith. Praise God. He wants you to be a ministering spirit, a flame of His fire. Praise God. Then the last thing we'll talk about, not only the angels are a messenger of God, they're a guardian of the truth, but angels behold spiritual things. You can behold spiritual things right now. We're going to behold them after a while, but we can, the Bible says, John 1:18, no man has seen God at any time. And yet we read in the Bible, that Moses, he saw the hind part. Jacob said, the Lord was here and I knew it not, And Gideon's, there when he was threshing wheat and the angel came and told him to lead, he said, God was in this place. But anyhow, there are in our text, it talks here about in chapter 2, when you see a therefore in the Bible, you need to see what it's there for, right? So in chapter 2, when it says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we've heard. Why should we listen to what the Word of God says? Why should we pay attention? He's writing to the Hebrews, who definitely, at least the Sadducees, they were sad, because they didn't believe in resurrection. Okay, but the Pharisees, Paul brought in brought the fact in his trial, when he was standing before the Sanhedrin, before the Jewish leaders, that he had was in hope of the resurrection, that he believed in angels. And of course, all through the Old Testament, I didn't really, when I was working on this measure, I kind of got to studying on this. What was he talking about, the word spoken by angels? Anybody know what that means? I was like, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to things we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip or let them drift away. It's the only time this word's used in the Bible. Slip means drift. Amen? So we shouldn't let the things that we've heard drift away. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense. Well, I went to studying on that. And really, did you know that angels was on Mount Sinai when the law was given? Moses talked about it there in Deuteronomy chapter 33. He was an eyewitness of the fact. He was up there when God handed him the tables written with the finger of God. And in verse 33, chapter 33, verse 2, Deuteronomy, Moses said, and he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran. He came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Amen. Later on in Psalms, when he's writing about it, he talks about the 20,000 chariots that was on Mount Sinai. No wonder that, if they had flaming chariots, like the one that hauled Elijah away. Man, that whole mountain was on fire because you had 20,000 of them up there. Psalm 68:17. Amen. And then, of course, Galatians, Paul talks about how that the law was ordained by angels. Huh? The last words that came out of Stephen's sermon, amen. The last phrase that he got out when he was preaching to them people, before they gnashed on him with their teeth and picked up stones and stoned him, he said, you have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. Amen. But you see, the writer, Paul, writing to the Hebrews who knew so much about angels, quotes a bunch of scriptures in chapter 1 about angels. Amen. And about how that, that he was made better than the angels. Amen. Because he obtained a more excellent name than they. And did he say this to an angel? No. Did he say that to an angel? No. Amen. But he said this to the Son. Amen. You see, the testimony that we have, amen, isn't is by a higher authority than the angels, amen. Jesus Christ himself came down here, and later on in chapter 2, he talks about it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, amen. So, and I'm telling you, he didn't take on him the nature of angels. He took on him the nature of somebody less than angels, a human, amen. But through that sacrifice, through that humbling, amen, he has lifted us up to where that we are going to be, I hate to say it, above the angels. Because we've been redeemed. Amen. You know, we sing a song the angels cannot sing. Hallelujah. But I don't want to get too proud. You know, I'm going to still just nod to him when I get there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because they were ministering spirits before I was. Yeah? They've helped me get to where I am. I know I haven't ever seen one, but I know I've had a few angels around. One time I got between, I think I told the last time I was here about getting between a crossfire between three would-be robbers with 9mm and a guy with a shotgun, and their guns wouldn't work till I got out of the way. Glory to God. Thank the Lord for bad bullets or an angel. Stick his finger in that shotgun, I don't know. But I'm telling you, amen, that we have a much greater opportunity to be of service to men through salvation. Praise God. I mean, most people out here in this world, they're never going to see an angel. Some people have. I've talked to people that said they've seen them. I never saw one. Anybody here ever saw an angel? We have a testimony right here. Praise God. No, nobody. But you know what? You see other people, don't you? And other people see you. And you could be a ministering spirit, amen, even though you're probably not an angel. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ himself is our captain. It says in verse 10, for it became, in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, for it became him, Jesus, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons of glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. That's that word captain, amen. It talks about a Greek conqueror, a hero who goes in and conquers an area, amen, establishes a city and liberates them and then names a city after himself. Praise God. And that's what kind of captain we got. We have the hero of our salvation. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus Christ is our captain. Yes. And he wants us, amen, to take on his nature. Just like he took on humanity, he wants us to take on the nature of God. Right. Amen. Last thing, and we'll close. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. Talks about that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found in the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know Jesus is coming after a while. Whom having not seen, ye love. You love him tonight? I haven't ever seen Jesus either, but I love him. Though now you see him not, yet believe and you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your salvation, even, amen, the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. I mean, they were looking for it, but they couldn't understand it. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which is in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us believers. Unto us they did minister the things. Praise God. Somebody ministered to you, didn't they? For you to receive this salvation. There was a preacher. There was a witness. There was a praying somebody. Amen. Somebody talked to you about this. You didn't just come on on accident. Amen. Somebody had to. And so, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Then he said, which things the angels desire to look into. I'm telling you what. That word desire to look into means that they're peering hard trying to see the bottom of it. It's like trying to look down into a deep pool, you know. Got any deer hunters in here? I know we got some fishermen. Praise God. Well, you'd be looking for them fish. I mean, especially if you got one of them, if you get out there and you got one of them little scanner deals, you know, a little fish finder deals. And, oh, there's some over there. You know, you get over there. Drop your line. You're looking hard. Amen. You're looking, trying to see it. These angels, I mean, they witnessed the giving of the law. Huh? They saw God's finger. I mean, they were there when the fiery law went out from among them. Amen. They ordained it. They authorized it. Amen. They was there. Amen. Putting their stamp of approval on it. But when it came to Jesus coming down and dying on the cross, one writer said they had to fold their wings. Praise God. But they're trying to peer down. And you know what I find? A lot of times we're not as interested in it as we should be. We're not really looking. We just kind of, oh, well, yeah, I got it. Yeah, that's fine. But no, it's more important than that. It needs more of our attention. Amen? I mean, if the word spoke by angels is steadfast, and hey, I mean, back then, the mouth of two or three witnesses in the law, I mean, but he said, how much sore punishment, huh? Where they be who trample underfoot the blood of the Son of God. He said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? It's a great salvation, folks. Angels are trying to see it. Amen? I'm sure, you know, they don't have the nature we got. They got a different nature. Amen? But I tell you what, they rejoice when people get saved. Huh? I believe Jesus said that, didn't he? These little kids are in here, all these little kids. Jesus said, they're angels. Do always behold the face of my Father. Huh? I said angels, they behold spiritual things. You want to be a minister in spirit? You're going to have to try to behold some spiritual things. Praise God. So that's my message tonight. Amen. I just want to encourage you. Amen. That you can be a ministering spirit. You can do spiritual ministry. Amen. If you'll be a messenger for God, be a guardian of the truth, and behold spiritual things. Amen. Pastor, come.
Thank you, brother. Amen. Would you come, music? Let's stand tonight across the building. We have done tonight what those angels desired to do. We've looked in on the things of Christ. Amen. Let's just come and find a place to pray this evening. And as we come, let's make up our minds to look into spiritual things and thank God for the great day we've had in His presence. Would you come before you leave? Let's find a place to seek the Lord tonight and just look into spiritual things and let Him have His way in our hearts tonight and be grateful for all that we've seen even this day, today. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Lord, we thank You. Lord, we worship You tonight. Lord, we thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy. Thank You that we've seen this great salvation. Thank You, Jesus.